Ross Bowman Podcast.
You better listen.
Welcome back to the Ross Bowlin Podcast, presented by Bowlin Media. I am Ross Bowlin, here with a presumably violently hungover producer, Cade Orris. Is that the case?
You would be correct, yeah. Not doing too hot right now. Kind of feel like I got pancaked by a drunk dump truck driver.
Oh.
Mentally and physically, so.
Just down across the board,
yeah,
huh?
Yep.
So. Well, it's Saturday morning, so it's hard for me to judge you or blame you.
Yeah.
We're working on the weekend, Cade.
We are. Yeah, I'm on my third cup of Joe right now.
Three? This is the third?
Yeah.
That you just set down in front of you?
Mm-hmm.
In your finishing cup?
In my finishing cup, yeah. That I use for finishing and drinking coffee.
Presumably, it's been run through the wash between being used for finishing and for coffee.
Oh, no, it kind of gives it like a little sweeter taste, so
a little tang?
I like to leave it in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're here.
We are here. We're doing it.
It's Saturday morning, just a couple of content kings dedicated to the craft above all else, loyal to the soil, 10 toes down. Usually people are working for the weekend, but we're working on the weekend.
Yeah. And we worked yesterday, too, because it was Veterans Day. Well, it's technically Veterans Day today, but people...
Oh, they celebrated. It was recognized yesterday?
Yeah, and people had the day off, which I didn't know was a thing.
See, I feel like the veterans should get the day off.
That's what I was saying. Like, why?
But neither of us are veterans.
Yeah, why does everyone else get the day off? It should just be veterans.
It should just be veterans.
Like, that's like the bare minimum we could do for them, you know?
Yeah. Like we
for serving our country.
If you didn't serve, you should... Like, why are we... Yeah, why are regular civilians with no military background getting Veterans Day off?
It doesn't make sense to me. Yeah, I was like shocked when like my friends were telling me like, yeah, I didn't work today. I'm like, why? Like, what did you?
Because it's not like they sat at home and pondered the sacrifices made by all the veterans.
No.
Maybe like three people in the whole country did that.
Yeah.
You know?
But yeah, we're here. We're working on the weekend.
No, working.
The pod man gets paid, so.
Speaking of work, are you ready for our first segment, Cade?
I'll ever be.
You don't look ready.
Yeah.
But we have to do it, so.
We're going
to
get through it.
Here we go.
Grab your light. This is Stop the Wikipedia when you're high.
Stop the Wikipedia when you're high.
Today's Stuff to Wikipedia when you're high is a list of people whose deaths were in some manner caused by or related to a product, process, procedure, or other technological innovation that they invented, designed, or substantially helped to create. This is an entire Wikipedia page, essentially, to make it more simple, filled with people who were killed by something they invented, where their own invention went on to cause them to die in some way, shape, or form. So there's a bunch of them. But I picked some of the more morbidly entertaining and interesting ones for us to discuss today. So we're kind of just going to be jumping around on that page if you're there trying to follow along. Good luck. First one, William Nelson, old Bill Nelson. He died in 1903. He was a General Electric employee who invented a new way to motorize bicycles.
So like a motorcycle.
But I think, it, like, you know how nowadays you see those people cruising around on electric bicycles? They have, like, an electric... So you don't have to pedal?
Yeah.
But it's a bicycle, not a motorcycle.
Okay. So it's a motorcycle, no motor.
There's a motor,
but does it have, like, a little house in the middle?
I just don't think it classifies as a motorcycle and it's not as House-esque. No.
Oh, okay.
No. Mm. But this guy, Bill Nelson, he fell off his prototype bike during a test run.
And that's what did it.
And he died. That was it.
Fell off the bicycle and got a little boo-boo and just...
Gone.
Gone
forever.
He's
trying to reinvent the bicycle, dude, and now he's dead. That was it. Next one is Franz Reichelt, who died in 1912. Franz was a tailor who fell to his death from the first deck of the Eiffel Tower during the initial test of a coat parachute, which he invented. So a tailor, you know, somebody who hems up your clothes, fixes your pants when they tear, makes your shit fit better. And he was like, holy crap, I've got this great idea.
He's kind of like on his James Bond shit.
Yeah, yeah, this was definitely something out of a spy film or something that, like, you know, Batman would have as a prototype. Tried to make a coat into a parachute, and then he jumped off the Eiffel Tower and it didn't parachute enough, apparently. Reichelt, promised the authorities he would use a dummy. So I guess on his way up, they were like, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing with that coat parachute? And he was like, it's fine. It's cool. I'm going to use a dummy. I'm going to put the coat on a dummy and then throw the dummy off the Eiffel Tower. But instead, he confidently strapped himself into the garment and at the last moment made his leap in front of a camera crew, no less. So not only is this a dumb way to die, it was...
In front of a
crew of cameramen.
Yeah. I love how they inserted confidently. Like, he was just so confident in his invention.
He's like, I got this!
Yeah. And, like, the people that, like, were like, oh, he's going to drop the dummy. And then they see him actually jump off. And, like, that's not what a dummy looks like.
I wonder if he yelled, like, you know, people yell stuff. Geronimo! Whatever, when he jumped. But also, this is like he tried to be a flying squirrel. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
A coat parachute.
Yeah, it's kind of like those wingsuits, maybe.
Yeah.
That you see, like, people, like, fly through, like, the Grand Canyon and stuff.
Oh, those videos are sick.
Yeah.
Those people are crazy, though. I would never...
Oh, absolutely not.
Not for me.
No.
Not us, buddy. Next one is Karel... It's with a K. K-A-R-E-L Suchek, who died in 1985. This is a little more recent. This was a Czech professional stuntman living in Canada... who developed a shock-absorbent barrel. I guess, like, you know how at the rodeo clowns, they jump into a barrel to hide so they don't get hit by the bull? Well, this is a barrel with some level of shock-absorbent abilities, and old Karel died following a demonstration involving the barrel being dropped from the roof of the Houston Astrodome.
Oh, look at that. What, is that like the old...
It's the old Astros Stadium.
Okay.
It was the eighth wonder of the world at the time it was made. Now it just sits there defunct. It's still there. I had no idea that at one point a Czech stuntman living in Canada who invented a shock-absorbent barrel died by dropping off the roof of the Astrodome. It's still right there. Like when you go to Texans games at NRG Stadium, it's next door. So you can
see.
They
didn't like blow it up?
Nope.
It's
been this whole thing.
Just going to let it rot there?
That's what's happening.
Nice.
That's what we got going on. Anyway, this Karel fellow was fatally injured when his barrel hit the rim of a water tank meant to cushion his fall.
So he was like in the barrel.
I'm assuming he's in the barrel. He's throwing himself up. Now, I'm not sure why there's a water tank too. The barrel isn't very good at being shock absorbent if you also need a massive barrel filled with water at the bottom to catch you. But it sounds like... he didn't make it quite far enough. He hit the side.
Probably should have used a dummy for that one first, too.
Yep. Yeah. Another place where a dummy would have been a better call.
No, just
call.
A test run.
Yeah.
Doesn't hurt to test things out.
That's right. Don't be afraid to use a dummy, folks. Next one. Henry Winstanley. He lived from 1644 to 1703. This is a throwback. Henry designed and built the world's first offshore lighthouse on the Eddystone Rocks in Devon, England, between 1696 and 1698. It says, boasting of the safety of his invention, he expressed a desire to shelter inside it, quote, during the greatest storm there ever was. So Henry builds the first offshore lighthouse and says, to test it, I will spend time in it during the greatest storm there ever was. And then ironically, during the great storm of 1703, the lighthouse was completely destroyed, with Winstanley and five other men inside. No trace of them was found.
That's tough. Having a little slumber party in the lighthouse and just...
It was just guys
gone.
Being dudes in there.
Yeah.
Five men spending some time during the great storm of 1703.
Think that title still remains. Think that was still the greatest storm ever.
I think it was just of that year.
Of that year.
Sounds like that was their greatest storm in 1703. But that's not how I want to go with five dudes getting weird in a lighthouse during a great storm.
I haven't seen the movie Lighthouse, but I imagine it kind of went something like that for a while. I've seen like the trailers and stuff, and things look like it got a little weird in there. So
yeah, it gets very weird in there.
So I imagine they're going through a similar thing.
Yep, probably losing it a bit. Next one is Henry Smolinski. From 1933 to 1973, he lived, and he was killed during a test flight of the AVE Mizzer, a flying car based on the Ford Pinto and the sole product of the company he founded. Again, I don't know why these men feel the need to be the person who tries the thing they've invented the first time. Use a dummy. Or, you know, I don't want to say use a monkey. That's not fair. We shouldn't have ever been doing that. You know, we just fire monkeys off into space still.
Do we really?
I don't think we do anymore.
I feel like I would have heard something about that.
We did for a while, though.
Just when we were,
I was in the Russians when we were racing.
Yeah, competing to be the first
had to get
people
up
on
there.
The moon. Yeah,
had to get up there first.
So is this like why we don't have any flying cars yet? Because the first one failed?
I mean, I don't know why in the name of God he was like, the Ford Pinto, that's the one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to base my flying car off the Ford Pinto. It's basically a meme car. And now he's dead. So there you go. Lesson learned. Next one is William Bullock. Lived from 1813 to 1867. Invented the Webb rotary printing press. Huge for Bill Bullock. Several years after its invention, Bill's foot was crushed during the installation of a new machine in Philadelphia. The crushed foot developed gangrene, and Bullock died during the amputation.
Shout out modern medicine.
Dude, yeah. No, I mean, like we've said before on this show, we have a lot to complain about these days. Certainly there are things about the world now that are much worse than they ever were before. But there are other things, like the ability to simply get rid of gangrene or have a successful amputation that we take for granted.
Yeah, we don't think about that very often.
Not enough.
No.
Not enough. Get your foot crushed by a Webb rotary printing press that you invented, and the next thing you know, you're fucking dead. You're gone. Next up is Thomas Midgley Jr., lived from 1889 to 1944, an American engineer and chemist who contracted polio at age 51, leaving him severely disabled. So he devised an elaborate system of ropes and pulleys to help others lift him from bed. Thoughtful. Unfortunately, he became entangled in the ropes and died of strangulation at the age of 55. Now, this is probably the most point-blank depressing one.
Yeah, that seems like the worst way to go out.
It's fucking terrible. Got polio, was like, I'm going to make the best of this. I'm still going to be an inventor. Gets a system of ropes and pulleys going so that people can help him up out of bed, get him around. Hangs himself with it accidentally.
What happens when you get polio? Like, I mean, it says leave him severely disabled, but like you just like can't move. Is that basically it, or
it invades the nervous system and can cause total paralysis in a matter of hours. Okay. It says so. Yeah, it sounds like paralysis is a big part of the problem.
Gotcha. Yeah, so probably can't really get him untangled.
Couldn't get himself untangled. Yeah. No, I don't know where his squad was at that point, but gone now. Next one is Ismail ibn Hamid al Jauhari, a Kazakh Turkish scholar from Farab. I don't know where that is. This is in the year 1010. Okay, this is way...
This is major throwback.
Way back in the day, this dude, Ismail, attempted to fly using two wooden wings and a rope. He leapt from the roof of a mosque in Nishapur and fell to his death.
Yeah, he just couldn't flap fast enough.
Nope.
Couldn't get those arms moving.
He couldn't. He wasn't flapping hard enough or fast enough. It makes me chuckle how many people died pre-Wright brothers trying to figure out how to get us up into the sky.
Yeah. And this is like something you see in movies or TV shows where like someone's like trying to fly like off their roof and they're like, I know what I need. I need like two wooden planks, tie some rope up, and just like flap my arms.
I'm going
to
turn myself into a bird, effectively.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is a Wile E. Coyote move.
Yeah.
Trying to get the Roadrunner. I've got these wooden wings and a rope.
Surely this will do it.
Next thing you know, splat.
Yeah.
Next up is Horace Lawson Hunley. From 1823 to 1863, he lived. He was a Confederate American inventor who drowned with seven other crew members during a test of his invention, the first combat submarine, which was later named the H.L. Hunley. That's unfortunate. Invents the first combat submarine, dies in it with his entire crew, and then after the fact, they're like, let's name that thing after him. At least give him that. The old H.L. Hunley.
Yeah, it sounds familiar to another story that I think we're going to talk about in a little bit.
Oh, we may.
Yeah.
Next up is Francis Edgar Stanley, died in 1918, was killed while driving a Stanley steamer automobile. This guy tried to make a steam-powered car. Drove his car into a wood pile while attempting to avoid farm wagons traveling by the side of the road, and he died.
Did he get like a splinter or something? Like how do you die from driving into a pile?
Maybe the car exploded when he, you know, it was like the first Michael Bay action sequence ever back in 1918.
Yeah, and the wood pile is just a conductor for that explosion, I guess.
Oh, yeah. No, he's gone. Goner. Next up is Thomas Andrews, a British businessman and shipbuilder whose name may ring a bell if you've watched the movie Titanic. He died in 1912. He was the managing director and head of the drafting department of the shipbuilding company Harland and Wolff in Belfast, Ireland. As the naval architect in charge of the plans for the Titanic, he was traveling on board that vessel during her maiden voyage when the ship hit an iceberg on April 14th, 1912, and he perished, along with more than 1,500 others, and his body was never recovered. Now, this is an actual guy they chose to like recognize and make into one of the characters in the movie Titanic with Leonardo DiCaprio. Mr. Andrews, he's on the boat just giving off cocky vibes. He's like, yeah, I fucking designed this.
Yeah, I built this.
And like, he keeps saying like, this ship cannot sink. And then it
then
does.
What happened? Yeah.
It does sink, in fact. And I think at one point, like when Rose is running around trying to like find Jack at the end, when they're like trying to get on a lifeboat, she goes through like the dining room and Mr. Andrews is just in there by himself posted up like when the ship is like tilted at a, you know, 60 degree angle. And he's like, he's just in there like accepting his fate going down with the ship. But nobody knows if that's what actually happened because that's a Hollywood movie.
Yeah. Not.
It's not real.
No.
Based this is on, real though.
Okay.
This next one. Stockton Rush died in 2023. He was a pilot, engineer, and businessman who oversaw the design and construction of the Ocean Gate submersible Titan.
I remember this one.
Tourists to view the wreck of the Titanic. So the Titanic, ironically enough, two people have died by their own invention as a result of it. First, the ship guy, the designer of the ship, and then, of course, our submersible friend here, Mr. Rush. On June 18th, 2023, the craft imploded during a dive to the Titanic, killing Rush and four other passengers. Rush had spent years staunchly defending his unregulated design, claiming that, quote, at some point, safety is just pure waste. I mean, if you just want to be safe, don't get out of bed, don't get in your car, don't do anything.
And use a game controller to pilot your submersible.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
It's a Logitech little controller. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I kind of like don't want to be friends with any inventors because it sounds like they're getting all their friends killed.
It's just too risky out there, man.
Yeah.
You know, thank God Steve Jobs wasn't killed by the iPhone.
Mm-hmm. Well, oh, yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, well, not you don't know, but he's already gone, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he had the cancer.
He had the cancer. Well, maybe
it could have come
iPhone.
From the iPhone. Yeah. I don't know. Hopefully not because we've all got these damn phones now. Anyway, that's a list of some of the more interesting inventors who were killed by their inventions. You can check out the full Wikipedia page for a score more, but there are quite a few of them that are frankly boring, so I left them off. We've got a new sponsor today, one that is so good they've gotten me to switch to their brand entirely, so listen up. Today's episode is brought to you by Lucy. Lucy makes tobacco-free nicotine for people to focus better, think deeper, chill out smoother, and inspire creativity. I had one of their pouches right before recording, and I feel creatively inspired. I know Cade can feel the energy pulsating from my brain. So what makes Lucy unique? We're talking 100% pure, tobacco-free nicotine. You'll never find tobacco in any of their products ever. Lucy pouches are available in five strengths, between 2 milligrams and 12 milligrams, and in 12 different flavors. Cinnamon, mint, which has been my go-to, mango, wintergreen, pomegranate, apple ice, and espresso. Lucy has the perfect balance of nicotine and flavor, and in their Breakers pouches, there's a little ball in there you can bust for an additional flavor burst, which is awesome. I've been crushing Breakers left and right. Lucy is superior to any other pouches I've tried, and they're juicy, not going to leave your mouth dry, which is huge if you're a pouch user. You know how annoying that can be. Whether you use nicotine to focus better, get a boost in energy, or to chill and relax, Lucy is made for your nicotine routine. And if you want to try Lucy's tobacco-free Breakers pouches or gum, go to lucy.co/RBP and use code RBP to get 20% off your first order. Lucy offers free shipping and has a 30-day refund policy. If you change your mind, that's lucy.co/RBP. Use code RBP to get 20% off and always free shipping. And here comes the fine print. Lucy products are only for adults of legal age, and every order is age verified. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. The internet in 2023 is flush with people trying to sell you on what to do, how to live, where to eat, and when to fuck. Influencers. Influencers everywhere, as far as the eye can see. Your dentist used to simply be a dentist, but now she's a dentist and an influencer. It's a fucking nightmare out there. But the worst iteration of influencer in the wave of everyone becoming an influencer is, without a doubt, the hustle culture business guru douchebag, which has become more and more and more prominent. If you have spent any time on LinkedIn, especially, but really Threads, the Meta-induced Twitter slash X competitor, Threads is chock full of these folks. You are very familiar with these douchebags who are apparently so successful that they now have a ton of time to tell you how to become successful as well if you've spent an amount of time on LinkedIn or Threads. Twitter has them as well, obviously.
Are you spending a lot of time on LinkedIn?
No, but I have LinkedIn, and we get, like, advertising inquiries through LinkedIn sometimes, so probably twice a month I go in there and I check my messages.
And that's where you're seeing all the business douchebags.
God, it is tough sledding. LinkedIn content is, it's like stuff that you think you would find on Facebook, like really cheesy business shit, though, and that's all, it's all bad. It's all bad. And Twitter also has these people. They've got blue check marks on Twitter. But there are more of them per capita on Threads and way more on LinkedIn. And they have handles like Grindrepreneur and Income Scaler and Dropship King. And
these are like actual names you saw on Threads and LinkedIn.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no, on LinkedIn you have to have a real name. Yeah. But like on Threads and Twitter you got a handle. And Instagram too. And they say things like, the rich really don't do it for the money. They do it for fun. Money's just a way of keeping score. And if there were 25 hours a day, I'd still want to work 26 hours. It's not that I'm a workaholic. I just fucking love the grind.
I saw there's one TikTok that like I always see. It's about this dude that's saying, I like convert my day into 3 8-hour days.
Oh, that's a great example. That if you've seen this clip of this dude,
and he's like, after a week, I'm like already kicking your ass because I'm like have more days than you, so I'm like working harder and doing more and all this shit.
Yeah, so this guy has 21 days in a week versus our 7 because he's converting each day into 3 8-hour
instead of one
segmented days,
24-hour day,
and then he schedules his life like that, and as such, according to him, is able to be much, much more productive than the average bear.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he's crushing, grinding, building wealth.
Don't need sleep when you're grinding, you know. You'll sleep when you're dead, essentially.
Yeah, every single one of these dudes has a Lamborghini and lives on a yacht and is somehow sub 30 years old and running 15 different businesses with fantastic hair. And they fucking love attributing quotes to Tom Hardy and Cillian Murphy and Leonardo DiCaprio talking about networking and net worthing. And
those quotes probably aren't even from them.
No, not probably aren't. They 100% are not at all from any of those people, but that's just like for whatever reason, those three dudes, they're like, these guys look like hardworking entrepreneurs.
I
want to
be like them, yeah.
Yeah, which is ironic because, of course, they're actors. But it's like how when Dan Bilzerian first got super famous for sensationalizing the culture of utilizing money and status to surround yourself with gold-digging girls who can't dance well enough to be strippers, suddenly a whole bunch of wannabe Dan Bilzerians and knockoffs and copycat douchers popped up everywhere. And this is like that, but for business, because of like Elon Musk and Gary Vaynerchuk and Andrew Tate is a good example kind of too. They have like self-employment and self-empowerment. It's like a wave that really swept through our capitalistic country even harder during the pandemic. It's got really bad in 2020, I noticed, because people were like figuring out other ways to create wealth because they weren't having to be in the office anymore. And people were figuring out how to like have three jobs at once, and how drop shipping became insanely popular. I'm still not exactly sure how working for Amazon in some capacity is like you being some groundbreaking entrepreneur, but it is what it is. And we have thousands now and thousands of these hustle bros just constantly sharing their secrets to great success online. And they love effectiveness and efficiency, and none of them have ever jerked off. They prohibit porn. They're like major Mark Wahlberg vibes all over these dudes. And they think there is no excuse for you to make less than $250,000 a year by the age of 25.
I'm not close to that number.
No, you haven't made it there
yet.
No,
not yet.
You're not grinding
hard. I'm not grinding. Yeah,
you only have 7 days in your week.
Yeah, I need to bump that number up. Yeah,
it's pathetic.
I need to stop sleeping altogether and just keep grinding.
It's truly sad because according to these guys, if you aren't worth at least eight figures by 30 years old with three houses and a Lambo and four drop shipping companies plus several self-storage facilities scattered across the U.S., you should just kill yourself. And the thing is, back in the day before social media influencers became such a massive category, there were self-help books. I got a roommate in college. This dude fucking loved self-help books. And it's like, there's a version of this that is obviously good and real. Like, self-empowerment is a good thing. Learning to better yourself is a worthy goal. Like, that's great. There's nothing wrong with that, inherently. But if you fall victim to all these douchebags who are trying to capitalize on the amount of people trying to better themselves with things that are just fraudulent and bullshit, then you're in a bad spot. And I used to make fun of my roommate because he would go through like eight of these books a week. And I was like, dude, how much self-helping do you really fucking need? And now, instead of self-help books, because no one reads anymore, because we just keep getting more and more ignorant, myself included, I never read. We just get these, we get our self-help in 300 characters on Twitter or whatever.
We're on, yeah, TikToks and Reels and stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of this on TikTok too.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of it that's translated to TikTok now. But hustle culture influencers have gotten so bad that there are now entire meme accounts dedicated to mocking hustle culture. Like I don't know if you've seen Entrepreneur, and it's spelled incorrectly on purpose, Entrapranure.
Yeah, kind of like calling it manure.
Yeah, on Instagram.
Calling it shit, basically.
This is on Instagram, and it's one of my faves. That's how bad it's gotten, that there's now like a whole category of making fun of this. And you can't really tell the difference between the fake ones that are for comedy and the real ones that are people being serious, which is, of course, makes it all the funnier to me.
Have you joined the Andrew Tate War Room yet? Have you signed up for that?
No, I can't afford the War Room, man. You know, it's expensive to become a part of that network.
Yeah.
You have to have done some hustling already.
Not enough hustle yet.
Mm-mm.
Maybe one day.
I fucking hate these people. They're the worst. It is literally impossible that you could embody the lifestyle you're representing while also spending as much time as you are online pushing other people to change their ways. And it's always a funnel to some Andrew Tate-esque war room type shit. They're trying to get you to sign up for something or fucking read something they're selling. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So if you're out there trying to improve yourself or figure out how to be a, you know, serial entrepreneur and have a bunch of money, just be careful who you're taking your advice from. That's all I'm saying.
Because all of them are like selling a fake dream, really.
Yes.
Like, it's all bullshit, and they know it's bullshit, but they know you're gullible and will buy into what they're saying.
Yeah, it becomes kind of pyramid schemey in the end, and it's just bizarre how much of this I'm seeing now. I feel like when we near the end of the year, it gets worse. It's like magnified. There's more of it, and it's blowing my fucking mind, Cade.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the end of the year, when it comes to the holiday season, there is no shortage of opportunity to dress up and show off. That is, of course, unless your wardrobe is lacking. Let today's sponsor, Indochino, make sure you are set to look your best for the rest of this calendar. For a limited time, you can shop Indochino's best prices of the year during their Black Friday event. Don't wait. Book your appointment now with sales starting in-store and online already going on now. I can tell you personally, the Indochino experience is incredible, whether you go to one of their showrooms in person and get measured up, or you just do it from home and order online. I've done both. I went to the Indochino brick and mortar in Austin the first time I got one of their suits, but for my most recent order, I measured myself at home, shopped strictly online, and the end result was still the best custom clothing experience I have ever had. If you need a suit, if you need a jacket, if you need a shirt, if you need pants, Indochino has them, and they're made just for you. And with Indochino's Black Friday event, you're getting the best prices of the year, made for you suits starting at just $349 and premium shirts starting at just $49. Get more looks for less with Indochino's unbelievable bundles. Two suits starting at $749 for two suits, five shirts at $249. Give yourself countless customizable options with new styles and fabrics added throughout the sale. It's the luxury of ordering custom clothing at a surprisingly affordable price. Hundreds of high-quality fabrics to choose from. Quality European wools, linen, and cotton in a wide range of colors and patterns. Design a look personalized to your style and taste without the luxury price tag. Refresh your wardrobe with the best prices of the year during Indochino's Black Friday event. Secure your appointment now with sales starting in-store and online November 6th. So already going at Indochino.com. That's Indochino.com. Kate, have you watched any of the NBA in-season tournament?
Yeah, it's been on, and I've just kind of been watching the background, really. I'm not paying too much attention right now because it's just group play. The actual tournament hasn't started yet. Don't know when it is, but I know it's coming.
What do you mean it hasn't started yet?
The actual tournament. Like, they're just doing group play.
What's group play?
That's what they're doing right now.
Yeah, but what is it? What's the difference between the group play and the actual tournament?
Because you have to determine who gets in to the tournament. It's just like the World Cup.
Yeah, but the group play part of the World Cup is still part of the tournament.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying
it's just the first round, you mean?
Yeah, I don't really care about the group play.
When everyone is in it.
Yeah.
Okay, got you. Yeah, it's not too difficult to tell when you are watching an NBA in-season tournament game, because they've rolled out the most absurd courts, like the design on the court, that I have ever seen, maybe for any sport. And like the only thing I know to compare it to is back in the day when Boise State had that god-awful blue field, which they may still, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure they still do.
It kind of fell off, so you just don't see Boise as much on national TV.
Right.
But that was incredibly unsightly, difficult to watch, and sometimes headache-inducing. And that's where we're at with these NBA in-season tournament courts. I have no fucking idea who approved this shit. But and some of them, frankly, are passable. Like, they're not making me want to die watching them. But there are several of them, especially the red ones, which my Rockets have, that are just, I cannot believe somebody signed off on this. I had to turn the Rockets game off last night because I got a headache. We ended up winning, which is great. 1-1 or 1-0 in the old in-season NBA tournament. Great start. But these are truly, truly terrible. Every single one of them is like a solid colored court. Okay, so your court can't be regular wood color. It has to be a color, like a different color. And then there's from one side to the other, like a strip down the middle, like a landing strip that is a different color than the rest of the court. And it is tough to watch.
Yeah, got a lot of red ones in here. I'm looking at it right now. Few gray, those are all right. The Pelicans, the dark purple isn't great, and the Suns had purple too. That wasn't very, very nice to look at. But they have been fucking up with their designs for the court and the jerseys this year.
Yeah. I mean, no, for a while. Yeah. This is a problem in the NBA in particular. I do not know what the hell is going on, but like every year they roll out new City Edition uniforms and 90% of them are laughable trash. Even like Rockets jerseys. This should not be difficult for a lot of these teams that have sick branding. And they're just totally misusing it.
I've seen just like random like people who are just like into like designing jerseys put out better stuff than what the NBA is doing.
Yeah, that's like a subreddit of NBA Twitter is people who every year put out jerseys that they wish their team would adopt that are significantly better than the shit that they actually use. But like, yeah, the Rockets, Trailblazers, 76ers, Bulls, and Heat all have the like bright lipstick red courts. And I mean, it's to the point where it's like, it's kind of difficult to see what's going on throughout the game. And like, I feel like it has to affect their shooting. It's just like mad distracting. It's fucking insanity.
Yeah. I do. The Rockets on Wednesday, they had a throwback court. That was really sick with the astronaut.
Oh, that was their like City Edition shit. Yeah.
It's got that, the dunkstronaut on it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's an astronaut dunking.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody loves that.
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't love an astronaut dunking?
No, I'm in for that. But this in season tournament shit is bizarre. On top of the courts all looking like some vomit induced nightmare, nobody knows when these games are. Like the in season tournament started like I believe the first few days of November.
Last week, yeah. I think they do it every Friday, maybe like Friday and Saturday.
So yeah, but the confusing part is the in season tournament started. I've got the TV on. I'm watching a game. It's the in season tournament. And I'm like, okay, cool. Time to start learning about this first ever NBA in season tournament and see how it goes. The next day, I'm watching a basketball game. It's not the in season tournament. It's like broken up.
Yeah.
The group stage. To where there's games, and then there's regular season games scattered, and then there's in-season tournament games again. It's just casuals, this is a nightmare.
But all the games, like even if it is in the in-season tournament, they count towards your actual record,
Except for the championship game.
Yeah,
so they count as regular season games. I will say this, it causes there to be a little bit more intensity in the fourth quarter, but other than that, it pretty much plays out as a regular season game, but on a... you know, a court that makes you nauseous.
Yeah. And I'm curious to see, like, how well this does.
Like, ratings-wise?
Yeah, and, like, how invested people are. Like, I think once the actual tournament starts, people will, like, tune in more, but I don't know how much players are going to care. I don't know if they're, like, getting incentivized in any way.
They are a little bit.
Yeah.
I think they each get $500K if they win this thing or something like that. Coaches, too.
Yeah.
And, I mean... I understand the reason they're doing this. Like, they're trying to compete with the NFL and college football for relevancy is a part of it, I think, and the NHL. Because a lot of people, if your team isn't like, you know, hasn't been really good every year for a few years or whatever, if you're a casual fan, people don't really tune in till down the stretch because there are like 83 games or whatever. So this introduces some level of a sense of urgency at the towards the very beginning of the season. Like, the Rockets were 3-3 when I saw the first in-season tournament game start. So we were six games in, and they're like, and now the tournament. I'm like, I just figured out who's on my team even. Like, we had so much turnover between last year and this year, and now all of a sudden we're playing in a fucking tournament. It is kind of fun, though. I would be shocked if they bring back these courts next year.
Yeah, no, you got to get rid of the courts.
This cannot happen again. The courts cannot happen again. I get doing a different court, totally understand, but it can't be this extreme. Like, this is so... it's like video game shit. It's so silly.
Yeah, it's like something you would create in 2K.
Yeah.
Like, just throw on a bright color and just...
but this is simple design stuff. Again, just like the jersey issue in the NBA. I don't understand it. Like, they've got a lot of money. It's a multi-billion-dollar operation, and they can't hire somebody with a sense of taste to fucking create these courts.
Yeah, you gotta get some new designers in there.
And every court has the NBA in-season tournament trophy in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And no one's ever seen that before, so nobody knows what they're looking at. And what the fuck is this thing? It's not the Bill O'Brien trophy. Well, no, it's the NBA in-season tournament trophy.
It's the cup, I believe. It's
the NBA cup, dude. Yeah. Which I do. I will say this. if the Rockets found a way to like win the NBA in-season tournament, I would never shut the fuck up about it. I would treat it exactly like it was the NBA championship, the NBA finals.
Because, I mean, it probably will be for the Rockets this year.
Well, I'd be the best thing that's happened to us in a long time, yeah. But, of course, I doubt very much that a squad like the Rockets, who could really use a boost like that, will win.
Hey, Cinderella story, you never know.
You do never know. We are 1-0. So,
there you go.
But it is tough, man. It says... I'm on NBA.com, and it says, the courts featuring vibrant and bold colors share the following design details. A fully painted court, edge to edge, which is where some of the disgust comes in for me. A larger-than-life NBA cup at center court, prominently displaying to players and fans the new trophy that will be awarded to the champion. So they're trying to spread awareness there. I get that. A contrasting wash of color from lane to lane, creating a 16-foot-wide runway across the court, which is the landing strip I spoke of. NBA Cup silhouettes in the lanes, and then team logos across the NBA Cup at center court and on the baselines. It is disgusting. And they all get to put a slogan on the bottom, or I guess some of them do. Like the Charlotte Hornets have, "The Hive is Alive." And the Atlanta Hawks have, "Lift as we fly."
Cleveland's is just, let them know.
Let them know.
Let them know.
But some teams don't have one. Like, they were just like, no, fuck you. We're not putting some lame shit down there. Let's see what else. Let's see if I can find any other really, really... Oh, the Rockets just opted to put hometown heroes at the bottom, and then they're bringing in, like, you know, Hakeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler and shit and making them sit in this special little area and calling them hometown heroes.
Nice. I do like... the Houston logo that they have, the H-Town.
No, that's
kind of sick.
The jerseys are sick, too. The H-Town jerseys are cool. I really like them.
Do you think they're going to, like, throw a parade for the team that wins? You know, like, for the
that's a good
championship?
Question.
Are they going to, like, have a little parade? Like,
I don't think we can pull that off mid-season, though. Because that's the thing about this tournament, is that it's in-season.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a few of these that aren't bad-looking. Like, I don't too much mind, like, the Lakers court or the Knicks court. But most of them, as I scroll through, are just like, it is not good enough to just have, all right, you get to pick two colors. One color is the entire court, and the other color is the landing strip. And that's the court. Like that for that's the base of the whole court. It's just two bold colors. It doesn't fly visually. So,
yeah, and some of them like aren't even like, they're just like random colors. They're not like the team colors. Like, I'm looking at the Wizards right now, and it's like a teal color.
Teal in the middle, and then gray.
I'm like, those aren't their colors at all. Like,
I don't know
where
are
you getting that
here.
From.
I don't. And then it looks like there's like snowflakes at the bottom for them. I don't even know how to describe what that is. But yeah, it's a mess. It's a disaster in terms of the NBA's in-season tournament court design. But we'll see. Like Cade said, group stage, not the most exciting. People don't care too much. It'll be interesting to see if hype builds around this thing when we get deeper into it and when they're actually playing for something, seeing if there's extra intensity, if the players really, really want this NBA cup. And after the thing ends, it'll be interesting to see if anybody talks about the results like further on down in the season or whatever. So that's where we're at in the NBA. And speaking of sports, today's episode is brought to you by MyBookie. If you're looking for a sports book or want to switch to a sports book that sponsors your favorite podcast, MyBookie has everything you need, from the NBA in-season tournament and regular season to college football, the NFL, combat sports, and hockey. If there's a sporting event you're looking to get action on, MyBookie has you covered. Just go to MyBookie.ag and use code Ross when you make your deposit to unlock a welcome bonus. Stipulations apply. As a bettor, you demand perfection, and MyBookie delivers. College football, the NFL, and a brand new cash-out system giving you options to bet and win all season long. First two legs of your parlay hit, cash out early and use the funds on another bet, or let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Join the MyBookie family for an entire season filled with odds boosts, free bets, and super contests. To get started, go to MyBookie.ag now and register for an account free. When you're ready to make your first deposit, just use promo code ROSS to grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ROSS to claim your deposit bonus. Stipulations apply. So what are you waiting for? If you're already betting on a sports book elsewhere and you're down to do so on a great platform that also supports your favorite podcast, code ROSS, mybookie.ag. That's the way to do it. Just use code ROSS to unlock that welcome bonus. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Kay, did you play Mortal Kombat at all as a kid?
The only one I've ever played is Mortal Kombat 9. So I'm not like...
Nine!
Like, I'm familiar with the franchise. I've seen the movie, the most recent one. And like, I know
you've seen the most recent one?
Yeah.
Oh, how was that?
Didn't you watch it?
I don't think so.
The one that got released on HBO?
Oh, wait. I may have watched the trailer. I don't think I watched the movie. If I did, I was too high. And I don't remember.
It was okay. I think like people were saying it was better than like
the OG.
Yeah.
Dude, the OG is hysterical. You have to watch that high.
Because it's so bad, right?
Well, I mean, it's the 90s, you know, and it's Mortal Kombat, a movie. I mean, yeah, it's really bad. It's really fucking bad.
So it's like so bad it's kind of good, though? Or
I think if you grew up playing Mortal Kombat as a kid, which is way more likely if you grew up when I did than when you did, then it was
a fun arcade game.
Yeah, it was a huge arcade game originally. And then I want to say maybe Sega Genesis, it came out. And so you went from being something you could only play at the arcade to something you could play at home. And so in middle school, like, we would go beat the living shit out of each other, literally in some cases, in Mortal Kombat. And it was dope.
Yeah, but I've been like on TikTok, sometimes I'll get served like the fatalities.
Yeah.
So I like watching those because they're just so fucked up.
They've gotten more and more outlandish over the years. Like the classic fatalities in the OG Mortal Kombat were pretty straightforward compared to what we're dealing with now. So I'll give you some of them. Like Johnny Cage uppercuts your head off. Like when he hits the uppercut, the head pops off.
Kind of like
blood shoots everywhere.
Was that the robot, like Rock'em Sock'em Robots?
Yeah, a little bit like that.
Kind of just
pops right off.
Yeah.
Kano rips your beating heart out of your chest and holds it up like, Raiden sends lightning through your body until your head explodes, which a lot of head exploding and removal going on.
Yeah, they really like to focus on the head and just making sure that's just like completely
obliterated. Yeah. Scorpion rips off his mask to reveal a skull. And then he shoots fire from his skull mouth to turn you into a pile of ashes. That one is sick. That's fucking ridiculous. And then Sub-Zero rips your head off, but he does it so cleanly that your entire spinal cord is still attached to the head. So he's holding your head up and like shows it to the audience, and there's just a spinal cord dangling from it. That one was always gnarly, too.
Yeah. Did he like freeze it, too? It was kind of like
no freezing in that one.
It's not like a human popsicle.
Oh, maybe there was a human popsicle thing going on that I missed. But you know how it was like when you played this, either at the arcade you had to hit like a certain sequence with the buttons, like you had to hit a certain, like I said, sequence with the buttons. But if you played at home, same thing, but on the controller, it was pretty hard to pull off the fatalities for some of these characters.
Right,
and it was always a big deal when you did, but. I guess in the newest iteration of Mortal Kombat, they keep releasing like fatalities as downloadable content. Like you can go buy the latest fatality for your favorite character.
Yeah, they had one for Halloween that they charged $10 for.
$10.
Just for one fatality. And again, it involved the head. They just stick a pumpkin on the dude and then like a bunch of bugs fall out and he's like freaking out, obviously.
Oh, sick.
And then the dude just punches his head right off, lands on a house, and then like the pumpkin opens and you just see the dude's head. I'm like, that's good stuff.
Well, the newest one is a Thanksgiving themed fatality that I saw going viral on Twitter yesterday. It's probably the most disturbing and hilarious thing I've ever seen. So Sub-Zero, like to do a fatality, you have to have the guy like wobbly, right? Like on the verge of knockout.
Yeah.
And Sub-Zero gets his opponent into that state. Then Sub-Zero sets an entire table for Thanksgiving with a tablecloth and a full turkey and all the sides and fixins and little pumpkins for decorations on the table and wine, full Thanksgiving spread, okay? And then he takes his opponent and he smashes his face into the table, breaking his jaw by getting his mouth, like, he makes him bite the table, essentially. Yeah. And then he throws his opponent into a chair and takes a handful of stuffing and jams it into his mouth and then grabs an entire pie, not a slice of pie, but the entire pie.
Wait, when I saw him grab that, I'm like, there's no way that's going to fit in his mouth.
He jams it right in there. Then he grabs the entire turkey, not a leg, not a breast, the whole turkey, slams it into the dude's mouth. And again, the graphics on this are significantly higher than they were when I was like a kid playing the OG Mortal Kombat.
Very
realistic looking.
Graphic, yeah.
And then once he's stuffed this guy full of stuffing and pie and turkey and broken his jaw wide enough to be able to fit all that in there, he punches him so that he falls backward in his chair onto the ground, jumps up into the air, and lands on the dude's stomach, causing him to projectile vomit everything he was just force-fed straight up into the air like The Exorcist, puking so much that his eyes explode from their sockets and his brain explodes out the top of his skull. Fatality. Sub-Zero wins. Flawless victory. Absolutely insane. Like, when I was a kid, people were concerned, like, oh, these violent video games, they're going to mess up the children, which they probably did to some extent. Like, this is unnecessary.
Yeah, no, they're going over the line with that stuff. Like, that's some shit you see in The Boys. Like, that's some Boys type shit.
It is, definitely.
And speaking of The Boys, they're putting in Homelander in the game at some point. Yeah, so a lot of times with the Mortal Kombat games, they'll put in, like, no, other characters from other franchises.
Sure.
So they've done, like, Alien, Predator, Jason, Michael Myers, like, shit like that.
Freddy, yeah.
Yeah. So for Mortal Kombat 1, I guess, they're just running it back to 1.
I saw that. When I was looking for, like, some of the original fatalities, I put Mortal Kombat 1 fatalities, and the new Mortal Kombat 1 popped up, and I was like, wait a minute, this is way better looking.
So, yeah, they're putting, so some of the characters they're doing is, like, Homelander, Peacemaker, the John Cena character.
Okay.
And then Omni-Man from Invincible. I don't know if you've seen that show. It's on Amazon Prime.
Oh, I think Omni-Man might have been the guy who got served all this Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that was the guy.
Damn.
So they just released him. And if you haven't seen Invincible, you 100% should. It's an animated show, so I don't know if you're like into that. But like,
it's hard to sell me on that.
Yeah, but it's really good. They just dropped season 2, so they're getting that right now. But his fatalities are pretty insane, too. So one of them is like he just like beats the shit out of your head. And then, like, he, like, pulled you up, and then, like, he just squeezes your head and pops it like a pimple.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like the mountain in Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And then another one is he, like, grabs the person by the back of their neck, flies to a subway, and this is, like, all of his, like, moves are from the show.
Okay.
And this one is really fucked up because he just, like, takes the person and sets them in front of a subway, and the subway just, like, he just stands there, and the subway just runs through them.
And they get hit by a train?
Yeah. Okay. And he's just like, they're just standing there, and like, there's like people on the subway too, and they're all just getting murdered as well.
Oh.
And so, yeah, he just holds them there until the train passes through, and then like, his...
You see what's left?
Yeah, his body just like falls apart. And I'm like, that's good stuff right there.
What other... did you play any other of these like one-on-one fighting style games when you were a kid?
No, I'm not like very good at these, so I never really played them.
Well, it was just button mashing
for
the most part.
Yeah.
And timing.
I played Injustice 2. It's like the same people that made Mortal Kombat's for
I've never even heard of that. Okay.
So,
it's all the DC characters?
Yeah.
Cool.
And I think they've done that, like Mortal Kombat DC before.
You never played like Street Fighter?
Nah, no, it wasn't for me.
Oh man, Street Fighter was sick. There was also one called Tekken that I feel like was for more hardcore gamer people or something.
Oh yeah,
I would always get the crap kicked out of me in that one. It was like more realistic looking, but these were always fun. Like if you know you're doing a little sleepover when you're 12 years old or whatever, bust out Mortal Kombat and fatality each other until you
run
pass
a little
out.
Tournament. Yeah, good stuff.
That was the good life.
But yeah, no, those fatalities, they get pretty creative with how you can
kill
just brutally
other.
Murder someone. Yeah,
yeah. No, they've gotten really, really out of control, it turns out. And I saw that Thanksgiving one and was just like, Jesus Christ, what the hell was that? What did I just watch?
I'm curious to see what they do for Christmas. It seems like they're going with the holiday fatalities.
Yeah.
So probably going to get stabbed with a candy cane.
Yeah, can't wait to see the Christmas one.
Yeah. Put a snowman head and then you just like punch it off. Yeah.
Yeah, or you turn their head into a snowman head by sticking a carrot like through their face.
Yeah,
you know.
And like coal
in their eye sockets.
Yeah,
See, we just made one.
There we go.
It's not that hard.
Yeah.
We should start sending in our ideas to Mortal Kombat for our next fatalities.
Mm-hmm.
That'll do it for today's show. Please support our sponsors by hitting the links in the description of this episode and using our dedicated codes. That is how we pay the bills here at Bolin Media. You can find all of today's sponsors in the description below. Next week, we will have a guest on our show, Twin Stunts.
So two guests.
Two guests, yeah. It's our identical twins that are fans of RBP, listeners of RBP. At one point, they like called into the hotline on Patreon and were talking about what they do. And we were like, wait a minute, what? And we like looked them up and they had like 170,000 Instagram followers at Twin Stunts. And it's just these twins who roam the country doing fucking sick stunts on their bikes. And that's what they do. And they're going to be, I guess they have like a show in Houston or something they were saying.
Yeah.
So they're going to come through Austin and sit with Kate and I in the studio. I think what I want to do is get all four of us around this table.
All
so
right.
We're going to have to,
we're gonna have to figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah. Move some things around. But that's funnier to me if it's us and two identical twins who do stunts.
Yeah.
So special guest next week that, you know, I love bringing in people who make a living in an interesting way, particularly with stuff that they're like passionate about that's kind of niche, like that you wouldn't expect. And I think identical twins doing stunts qualifies. So I'm stoked to talk to them. Twin Stunts next week. To check out our other shows, go to bolinmedia.com. We, of course, have Jared's F1 show, Formula Bone, providing you with Bolin Media's premier F1 programming, covering every single race in the F1 season with a preview and a recap at Formula Bone on social media. Go to youtube.com/@FormulaBone and subscribe to support J-Bone. If you're an F1 fan, you will enjoy Formula Bone, I promise you. Oysters, Clams, and Cockles, hosted by myself and one of my best friends of over 20 years, Mr. Barrett Dudley. We are currently covering Foundation Season 2 on Apple TV+, having a lot of fun talking about the insanity of Foundation. If you're a Houston sports fan, Banging the Can, available wherever you get your RBP, but most people watch it on youtube.com/@bangingthecan. BolinMedia.com/shop is where you can grab yourself some RBP merch this holiday season. We've got coffee cups, mouse pads, baby onesies, hoodies, crew neck sweatshirts, t-shirts, hats, everything you need. BolinMedia.com/shop. Grab something for the RBP fan in your life or use your holiday money that comes in from the parents, family, uncles, aunts, grandparents, or whatever. Do some shopping. BolinMedia.com/shop to support the company. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at WRBolin. Cade, where can the people follow you?
You can follow me on all the social media platforms at Kadors. That's KadeOrris.
This episode of RBP is presented by Bolin Media. Video of today's show was produced by Kay Doris. Go to youtube.com/@TheRossBolinPodcast for full video of our show, plus funny clips and segments. We will be back next week with another public sponsor-based episode joined by Twin Stunts. And then again later in the week on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast, where every week we put out an ad-free exclusive episode for our supporters on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. Get in there, subscribe. It's just $5 a month to join the RBP gang officially and gain access to our entire backlog of premium ad-free episodes available exclusively on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. Until next time, stay safe out there. Peace be with you and also with you.
Go low, baby.